Good morning, everyone. First of all, I would like for us to, in our hearts, raise up a prayer for healing for Pastor Jenny, as she has a tough virus this weekend. And we also need to keep in mind, and I'm sure you are, that she has some monumental work ahead of her. So we need to keep her in our hearts and our prayers. I went to the well that day at about noon. That's when I met him. I always went to draw water from the well at noon. It was the hottest time of the day, so it's miserable work to get water at noon. But when I went at noon, no one else was there, and that's how I wanted it. I used to go to the well to get water much earlier in the day, in the early morning when it was cool, when there were others to talk with, my family and friends. Going to the well in the morning used to be fun. The other women in town were always there too. Many of them would bring their children. We'd laugh together, even gossip a little. We would talk about whose boy had done something funny in school that day, or we tell stories of the little girls learning to do the wash for the first time, or burning supper as they cooked their first meals. It used to bring me such joy. It was like a family reunion every morning, without the men, of course, and that part of what made it fun. It was just us women and all the children. Every morning I looked forward to going to the well to get our daily water. I even remember going to the well with my mother when I was a little girl. It was such a special place. Our city, Sychar, was near Holy Land that had been given to our ancestor, Jacob, to his son, Joseph. Our well was Jacob's well, a well that reminded us who we were, reminded us that we were part of Jacob's family. From the time I was very little, my mother would take me to the well every morning. And as my sisters and brothers were born, they would come too. We would see our cousins and our friends. While our mothers got the water they needed, we would play games and talk and laugh. Going to the well in the morning had always been my favorite part of the day. But over the years, things changed. As a young woman, I was still a girl, really. I got married for the first time. This was no surprise. The other girls my age were all getting married. It was what we were all supposed to do. Get married, have children, grow old. And I did it, just like I was supposed to. But things didn't work out for me like they were supposed to. Instead of getting married just once, or twice maybe, after the death of a husband, I was married 5 times. It's nothing I was proud of, and it was nothing I had all that much control over, but it's the way it was for me. And not only had I gotten married 5 times over the years, I had lived with a man who wasn't my husband. It was in the midst of all this, in the midst of my marriages, the things changed for me in the city. It was in the midst of all this that I started going to the well later and later in the day. At first, the other women didn't say anything to me directly. None of the men did either. But I knew there was talk. I would see them in little huddles, whispering and looking my way as I approached the well each morning. And of course, the closer I got to them, they would quickly disperse and then greet me with averted eyes. This wasn't so hard to handle, but it got harder as they began telling their children to stay away from me. That's when I decided to start going to the well later in the morning. But even that didn't help very much. There were always people who had gotten a late start to their day and ended up at the well mid-morning. When I discovered that hardly anyone went to the well at noon, that's when I started going. It was just easier. Well, the work was harder because the sun was so hot at noon, but it was easier to be there alone. I didn't have to worry about overhearing gossip about me. I didn't have to put up with the snide remarks about my marriages. No one even considered the reasons for my five marriages or the reason why I was living with a man I was not married to. The reasons mattered to me, but they didn't seem to matter to anyone else. Nobody in town ever cared to hear my stories, so I just never told them. Like I said, every once in a while, I would see someone at the well at noon, so it was kind of a constant worry, but then everything changed in just one day with just one conversation after I met him. I showed up at the well at noon that day, just like every other day, and I was a little anxious because someone else was already there, a man nonetheless, and a Jew. See, I'm Samaritan, and Samaritans and Jews haven't gotten along for centuries. Hundreds and hundreds of years ago, Israel was conquered by Assyria, and Assyria had conquered many other lands and peoples before they conquered Israel. When Assyria conquered Israel, they captured many of Israel's professional people, took them into exile away from Israel. At the same time, Assyria sent other peoples there that they had conquered into the land of Israel, so that there were all kinds of different races, and there were marriages between these different peoples. We Samaritans are the result of those mixed marriages. The Jews hate us because we represent their tainted bloodlines, and we hate the Jews because they don't worship in the same place we worship. We believe many of the same things, but that doesn't seem to matter. Since this man at the well was a Jew, I was caught off guard when he spoke to me asking, "Will you give me a drink?" Jews and Samaritans don't ask each other for help or share things in common, even water from a well. So I said to him, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" I was confused, and I wasn't used to people speaking directly to me, especially not while I was at the well. But even though I could tell he was a Jew, I didn't recognize him. So I figured he couldn't have known anything about me, couldn't have known who I was or why people treated me badly and spoke about me behind my back. The man said strange things, beautiful things, but strange, things I'd never heard before. When I asked him why he was telling me to get him a drink, his response was puzzling. "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Living water?" I thought. "Sir," I said to him, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons, his flocks, and herds?" Then he said, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." After I heard him say, "Whoever drinks the water I give will never thirst," I almost stopped listening. I thought, "You mean you could give me this living water and I would never have to come back to this well again? I would never have to worry about running into people who scorn me? The living water would take away my hurt and my shame. Sir, I said, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. I was excited. It was like he was offering me a new start. Though he hadn't said much, I knew I wanted to hear more. But then he said, go call your husband and come back. I didn't want to tell him what I needed to tell him, but there was something about him, something in his eyes, in the way he looked at me with a sort of grace. And I knew it would be all right to respond. I have no husband, I said. I know you don't have a husband, he replied. Actually, you've had 5 husbands, and the man you're living with now is not your husband. I was amazed, a little frightened. How did he know? But again, there was just something about him. Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. My Samaritan ancestors worshipped here on this mountain, Mount Gerizim. But you Jews say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem. Again, he said something that kind of confused me. Woman, he said, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. As he spoke these words to me, I felt as though I was at the feet of a rabbi. I felt as though he'd invited me to be his student. Me, a woman, a Samaritan. Men did not usually say things like this to a woman, and Jews and Samaritans certainly never spoke about worshiping God together. I wanted to hear more and more of what he said, so I told him, I know that Messiah is coming, the Christ. I know that when he comes, he will explain everything to us. What he said next made me want to drop my water jar and sit with him forever. I am he, he said, the one who is speaking to you. I am he had said. I am the Messiah. He told me. There wasn't anyone else there, just me. My heart was racing. In that moment, I felt as though the heavens had opened and God's face had appeared right there in front of me. I am he had said. Then out of nowhere, about a dozen men came walking toward us, looking at the man and looking at me and looking perplexed, like maybe they thought he shouldn't be talking to me. I immediately thought of all those other times something like this had happened. All those times women had looked at me with hateful eyes when I had said hello to their children or greeted their husbands. I thought of those times men had taken me for granted, the times they'd taken advantage of me. A wave of fear passed through me as all of these men began to close in on us. But I looked at the man, and there was compassion and assurance in his eyes. And I looked again at the other men and saw there was something of that same compassion and assurance in their eyes. And then I felt the acceptance and the excitement return. I looked at the man again. I smiled at him. I dropped my water jar and I ran into the city. I wanted to tell everyone I saw about this man. Come see a man who's told me everything I ever did. I said to anyone who would listen, could this be the Christ? But even as I asked people that question, I knew the answer. I knew that he was the Christ, the Messiah. And I knew that I had received the living water that he had talked about. I could feel it bubbling up within me, and I knew the people saw. They saw. They could see the change in me. I felt so different. I felt loved. I felt accepted. I felt welcomed. He had made me feel that way, and I wanted everyone else to feel it too. Thanks be to God, I thought. Thanks be to God.